to Dean. The two boys shook, watched approvingly by the others.
Oh, forgive me. Time passes and you must be gone. You're sure you don't want an escort to the coast?
Ryan shook his head.
Appreciate the offer, Baron. But I think we can handle any rag or brushwood remainder that might have made it through the muddy pigs and the scabbies in the sulfur swamps. Thanks anyway.
They had their armament, clothes washed and patched, wounds treated and rebandaged. Rainey and a couple of Sekhmen rode with them as far as the remains of the camp, stopping there to lead back the string of horses that the friends had borrowed. It was late morning when they finally parted company, after the briefest of farewells, and headed west on foot, toward the ocean and the raft. There was far too much death between them and the solemn-faced Sek boss for any more cordial goodbyes. Trader walked with Ryan.
Don't know which is the worst stink. Sulfur all around us in this bastard fog? Or the smell of those bodies rotting away back there?
You and me have smelled more bodies than sulfur over the years, Trader.
The older man shrugged the armalite to a more comfortable position on his shoulder.
Ain't that the truth, Ryan? Sure I've seen too much chillin'.
Likely see plenty more.
Behind them, the vultures that had been scared off into the misty sky came flapping down again on their wide, leathery wings. There hadn't been that much left of the brushwood dead after the pigs and the carrion eaters had taken their pleasure of them. There were only a few pathetic tangled piles of gnawed bone and sinew between the wrecked camp and the beginning of the sulfur pools and hot springs.
Fog's thickening a lot, Glover.
Yeah, wind's freshening as well, blowing dead behind us from the Sierras. Could be some seriously bad weather to come. Sky's as black as an Apache tear.
Christy's hair was curled tightly around her nape against the miserable damp weather.
At least we can get on the raft, paddle across the strait, and make the jump. Reckon we should be at the coast in about 15 minutes.
They had come through the seething, blighted terrain without serious harm to any of them. Jack's ankle was still giving him trouble, and he had once stumbled over some loose stones and nearly fallen into one of the boiling springs, but his amazing reflexes had saved him. The whole region still carried the sickly smell of overbroiled meat. Much of it was pork, with several of the smaller basins of scalding mud, choked with the corpses of the stampeded herd of pigs, the meat already tumbling from the white bones. There was also evidence that more of the brushwooders had perished in that bleak and dreadful place. The lower half of a woman's body lay on the winding path, several chomping bites ripped from the thighs. The upper half of the corpse was immersed in brightly boiling, salted water.
Well, fair gents and lasses, were you aware that some cannibals in the South Seas used to call human flesh long pig for its alleged similarity in terms of texture, smell, and flavor?
Shut the hell up, you imperialist old coot!
Huh. Jack examined the trail once they were through the hot springs.
Some pigs got past safe. Some came back.
Brushwooders?
Some, JP. Also bare feet. Scabbies? One man in western boots. Deppy Straub?
Ryan wasn't that worried. He had never imagined that his plan would involve the deaths of all of the ferocious meaty pigs or all of the brushwood tribe. But it was enough to know that the twin threats had been thoroughly diluted. By the time they reached the rocky beach, the weather had deteriorated. There was the unusual combination of a howling wind and a thick fog that swirled about them. Christy shuddered.
I'd like to get away fast. I don't care for this much.
Me neither. Raff was over here.
There had been the worry that someone, or something, might have found the fragile ramshackle craft and destroyed it. But it was where they'd left it.
Wood's gotten sodden. Floats lower in the sea than before.
Abe was understating the problem. There was barely any freeboard above the lapping waves.
Two trips?
Have to make it one, Mildred. No way we can run a ferry service. Look at that fucking riptide running out there.
Right, Trader.
Through the patches of fog, they could see the way the ocean was tearing past them, with oil whirlpools and ragged stretches of white tumbling water. The mist concealed the redoubt.
Once we're off, there won't be any coming back. The current will pluck us off. We'll have to paddle like smoke. It'll be risky.
They all stood and looked at the raft, barely afloat, tethered to a jagged spur of rock at Trader's feet.
Go for it, Dad! That's my vote!
Why can we not detour along the coast to that other craft that needed a bit of mending?
It'll take too much time. We might finish up in a nest of scabbies.
I say let's take a chance. I got a bad feeling about staying here.
Jack stared out into the fog, the wind blowing his silken white hair around him like a torn veil of snow.
I say go.
3-1 so far. Who do you reckon, JB?
Sea's triple bad. We could wait until this evening or even until tomorrow morning.
I vote with John. I agree with you, Ryan. Once we pushed off, there's no way we could get back to shore with this tide running.
3-3. Abe?
Stay. Definitely stay. I'm not that good at swimming, but I reckon I'd be terrific at drowning.
I vote for chancing it. If we keep balanced, we could make it across to the island. Well, Trader, seems like you have the casting boat.
The old man looked at Ryan, half smiling.
You and John Dix were the sons I never had. You know that.
Sure. Ryan realized at that moment how much he owed Trader. How different his life would have been, probably a good deal shorter, if it hadn't been for the survivalist ways of the grizzled man standing in front of him.
I say we try for it. Man never opens a door, he never gets to know what's behind it. I've always wondered about what lies behind that door. Could be a good way of finding out. Yeah, fucking go for it. 5-4 and 4 against. It means we go for it.
But of course.
No point waiting. Everyone on. Slow and careful. Keep balance or she'll go over.
Dean went first, followed by Jack. JB climbed cautiously on board, reaching to help Mildred.
Thank you, John.
My pleasure, Millie.
Even with only 4 of them settled on board, the raft was already almost underwater. Doc nearly fell into the weed-racked breakers, his sword stick snagging in some of the tangled cordage.
Why the 3 Kennedys? I sympathize with your sentiments, Abe, my dear chap. For a moment there, I was more nearly drowning than waving.
Christy stepped on, finding a place for herself, taking up one of the makeshift paddles. Only Abe, Ryan, and Trader remained on the shore.
Here goes nothing!
The little gunner hopped on, his weight pushing the raft a little farther below the surface of the sea. He clung to the waterlogged timber like a monkey on the landward side of the craft.
You're next, Ryan.
Age goes before beauty, Trader.
Give me your hand.
Slightly puzzled, Ryan offered his right hand to Trader. The old man's grip was still powerful.
Now get on.
All right, then.
Ryan picked his moment, waiting until the sullen raft was on the crest of a wave, then stepping beside Christy, turning to face Trader, who had loosened the rope and was holding it coiled in his right hand.
What are you doing?
Nothing's forever, Ryan.
Trader hurled the rope onto the raft, simultaneously giving it a hard push with his boot, sending it spinning out into the strait. Everyone was thunderstruck.
What the hell?
For once, Abe was the quickest to react.
Trader!
The little gunner threw himself over the side. He came out of the water a few dangerous feet to the rocks, where Trader stooped to help him from the water. Dripping wet.
Get back! We must...
Doc quickly realized that it was already way, way too late. They were already swinging into the main channel, 30 or 40 yards from the mist-shrouded promontory of sea-slit boulders.
Paddle! At last. They've given us a better chance. Don't let us piss it away. Paddle to your backspray. Keep her straight for the redoubt.
The fog wrapped itself around them, the wind tearing at the raft, trying to lower it off course. Ryan glanced back once, seeing Trader, the shorter figure of Abe, at his side. The older man lifted the familiar armalite once above his head in a valedictory salute. Then, the surging water required all of Ryan's concentration, the mist shutting down visibility, and Ryan turned away.
Nearly there.
Effectively one-armed, the armorer had done what he could, but it had been a desperately close thing. Now the raft was well below the water, but the jaws of the current had relaxed their grip, and Ryan knew they were going to make it. He looked back one last time. The gust